swapped from a big sheet to a half sheet. Does anybody need one of those to take? It's got the scriptures we're going to go over. Two up here. Where's my Coffee and Connect people? Okay, they're going. Scott to the rescue. Three up here, four up here. All right, here we go. Martha needs one. Cindy needs one. Mary Lou needs one. Scott, you're not signing up for Zumba? No, because you're... I need one more up here, Mark. I need one more over here. Mark, right up here, Mary Lou. Okay? All right. So, you know, every once in a while, somebody says something to me, and it just is like this little dig. And some days, I just let it fly by. And other days, I just repent later. So, someone says, oh, Pastor D, can I borrow yours for a second? Pastor D, you're doing this on cardstock? All right, so I want to tell you, I've got like 15 boxes of these, and we're going to use them up. And I've had these 15 boxes for at least 10 years. Okay? So, yeah, I'm not being, you know, spending my money unwisely. We're just using up stuff that we already have. Okay. Huh? Well, we're going to use them. Oh, yeah, you're giving it away, right? You got it right now. I'm giving it to you away. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay, here we go. Let's start. Has anybody ever had a falling out with somebody that you were close to? Don't point to them. Just raise your hand, okay? Well, quite a few years ago, I had that event happen to me. I had a falling out with somebody who I was really close with. And I will tell you, I was a little devastated. But you know what? I went to them to talk to them to see if I could make it right. And they just didn't want to talk to me. Now, I won't tell you I was doing a little stalking there for a little while. But that's all right. But I really, because the Bible says you should make things right with people, right? Yeah. All right. So, but the thing what I found out is they didn't want to make it right. They didn't want to talk to me. They didn't want to talk to me. And I let them know because I showed up at their door. I do that. I showed up at their door and I said, hey, just tell me what I did wrong. We're friends. Tell me what I did wrong and I can make it right. I'll repent. And they didn't want to talk about it. They just wanted me to go away. So there was a lot of in between on what I did and what I thought there. But you know, I did what the Bible said. I forgave them. I also repented for some thoughts in my brain. But really, the thought I want you to know is I forgave them. And there's two ways to forgive. I kind of cooked these two up. One, you can have closed forgiveness. And two, you could have open forgiveness. And closed, I made this up, okay? It's just, it helped me understand what was going to happen. So closed forgiveness is when I have closure with Frank, okay? And we go meet and we talk. And we, you know, confess, because if I did something wrong, and I do a lot of things wrong, okay? And then we have closure. And the amazing thing is, what happens is most times you become better friends because you've worked it out. So that's closure and forgiveness. And then there's one that this is what happened. I call it open forgiveness. And that's when that person doesn't want to deal. They don't want to deal with what happened. And just drove me bananas for a while because I want to know. And I tried my best. So when they don't want to deal and find out what happened, they don't want to forgive. And actually, Jesus did that on the cross. Remember? He said, Father, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. So I did that. I forgave that person. All right? But the interesting thing that happened immediately after this, figuring out that somebody who I was close with just ended a relationship. Immediately, I started having these crazy thoughts in my head. All right? Thoughts of, gee whiz, almost like fear, and thoughts of, I just would go over everything in my life. Like, what did I do? What dumb thing did I do? What dumb thing did I say? Why did, you know, and I would go to bed at night thinking those, and actually, I will call those tormenting thoughts. They were tormenting me. Anybody have tormenting thoughts hit you? They're a pain. They're not good on your sleep. They're not good on your attitude. So I would lay down at night and I would be thinking, I'd go, you know, and I would pray, God, deliver me. God, then I start speaking. I command these thoughts to leave in Jesus' name. And I closed my eyes and they were still there. I was still in torment. And I will be honest, this went on in the mornings when I woke up. Throughout the day, I'd have some of these thoughts. And this went on for really about a year. About a year. And I was, you know, somebody would say something about that person. And I just would start this whole tangled mess of crazy, ugly thoughts that were tormenting. And then one day, I read my Bible every day. But one day I was reading my Bible. And I read where Jesus said that you should pray for your enemies. It said also that you should bless those that do wrong to you. I read that, and it was like a whoa moment. Ah, whoa. Now listen, I'd read those scriptures hundreds of times. But that day, when I opened up my Bible and I was reading that, all the lights went on. All the lights went on. And it was actually when I was reading it, and when I say the lights went on, it was like the Holy Spirit was talking to me. He lives inside of me. He's a still small voice and he will talk to you. It wasn't like, it was he. He was talking to me and he said, you need to pray for them and you need to bless them. You need to pray for them and bless them. So can I be really honest? Part of me wanted to say, excuse me? Do you not know what they did to me? And I wanted to say, if you've got any extra lightning bolts, they could drop down on them, you know? And yes, I was a little carnal. Uh-huh. Anybody ever get carnal? Yeah. Good. Because lightning will hit now. Okay, so, you know, that night, though, I had a decision to make when the lights went off in that scripture. I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision right there. So I decided I was going to pray for them and I was going to bless them. So I was actually reading at nighttime, so I'm still chewing this over. I go to bed and I'm like, okay, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray for them and bless them. Now, when I said I was going to pray for them, I wasn't going to pray about them. God, you know what they did to me? God, that was praying about them, you know, going over and over. That's praying about them. And I wasn't going to pray against them. God, hit them. Okay? No, I was going to pray for them. Those are big differences, guys. Okay? Big difference. Because the Lord said, I want you to pray for them. So I started praying. Father God, bless them. Father, bless their children. Father, bless them where they work. Father, just bless them, bless them, bless them. Father, I just see your blessings. I pray for them and I bless them in Jesus' name. And you know what happened? That night, I didn't have any tormenting thoughts. I went to bed without those thoughts just grabbing hold of me and making me go, la, 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 la. Okay? Now, though the funny thing happened next morning when I woke up, those thoughts came, those tormenting thoughts. Remember what they did. Remember how you feel. And you know what I did? Because listen, you have an enemy. Anybody know that? You have an enemy, and he just wants to test you to see if you're going to hold your ground. He wants to test you to see if you're going to hold your ground. So those thoughts came to me, and I said, no, I bless so-and-so. I bless their children. I bless their finances. I bless their car. Bless them, bless them, bless them. And those thoughts disappeared. Now, I will say, in the next several months, every once in a while, you know, I'd see them on Facebook. Actually, I deleted them, to be honest. And then I put them back on because the Lord said, well, that's pitiful of you. Okay. But you know what? Every time I would have that thought, I would pray, oh, no, I bless them. I bless their children when I see their children. And you know, what amazed me, maybe I'm a little slow learner, but what amazed me is that when I did that scripture, when I actually did what the scripture said, it brought freedom in my life. It brought freedom in my life. And I have one more Facebook friend. Okay? I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about the scriptures that God speaks to you and having freedom in your life. All right. Now, 2 weeks ago on April 10th, as a matter of fact, we started a series on the Trinity. And we said the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And to some people, that's a mystery. But the mystery is really kind of simple. God is three persons. God is three persons. And they're all fully God, and yet they're one. That's the mystery. Now, if you weren't able to be with us, you can go on ycf.com, press I want to listen to the message, it's free, or you can fill out one of these envelopes and just write your name here and the service, the Trinity, okay, or write April 10th and we'll get it to you, all right? So, but let me just rewind a little bit. On the first week we talked about God the Father. God the Father is part of the Trinity, okay, God the Father. And we said the whole purpose of why I'm doing a series on the Trinity is we know how to have to learn how to interact with them. All right? I have to know how to interact with them. And you know, some of you interact with me differently than other people. Like little kids interact with me differently than older people, okay? So here we have the Trinity, and we need to learn how to interact with each one of them. All right? So we said we interact with the Father in prayer, and that means you go to the Father. Jesus Christ made a way that if you've received Jesus, Jesus Christ has made the way for you to go to the Father. And you don't have to go through any priest or any person or my sister Mary. Now, that won't make any sense to you unless you were here that day. All right? So you need to listen to the CD. So you can go to the Father, and we go in Jesus' name. So that's really basics, and that's how we interact with the Father. The second thing we said on here, we interact with the Father in prayer, and we interact with the Father in awe. And awe was we reverence, we adore, and we worship Him in awe. All right? We worship Him, we reverence Him in awe. So when we worship Him, I said, I gave the example that every day I get up. I can't even remember the last day I didn't do that. I get up in the morning and I sit down, make my coffee. God hasn't spoken to me that I shouldn't be drinking coffee, okay? So if you think so, you just pray for me, but He'll tell me, right? Every week I just drink coffee. Good. So I make my coffee, I sit down, and I get real comfy on the sofa, and I read my Bible every day. And some days on it's 20 minutes. Now, Monday's my day off. I camp out there. Like I just camp. But for most days, it's about 20 minutes. And then the Lord starts speaking to me like scriptures. They come alive. They're like ah moments. And then I just start talking to Him. And then I shut up so He can talk back to me. All right? And then a lot of times I'll worship. I'll just start worshiping. So I'll press a CD because I haven't figured out how to do it on my cell phone yet. So love this stuff. And I just start worshiping Him. I sing Him. And a lot of times, I just sing to Him my own songs. All right? But I do this in awe and reverence of who He is, that I am honored. I am made right to come in His presence. And just incredible things happen just for me in those times. So how many of you have been practicing that at home? Reading your Bible, praying, and doing some worship. Isn't it good? Anybody hearing some things when you do that? Yeah, it's really good. Okay, now, let me see. So today, we're talking about how we interact. So that was how we interact with the Father in prayer and awe. Today we're going to talk about how we interact with the Son. Who is the Son? Good, you get a point on your test. Okay, who is the Son? His name is Jesus. It is Jesus. And then we interact with Jesus by we follow and obey. So today we're going to talk about following, obey. Next week we're going to talk about how we interact with the Holy Spirit. How we interact with the Holy Spirit. And we acknowledge Him. That's how we interact with Him. And we yield to Him. So that one's going to be really crazy fun. So come on back. But today we're going to talk about how we interact with Jesus. And it's simply we follow and obey. We follow and obey. It's really simple. So Pastor D, what do you mean follow? How do I follow Jesus? Well, this is the most incredible book ever deposited into your lap. This is the Bible. And the Bible says that Jesus and the Bible are the same. The Bible says that Jesus and the Word, and we got some words here, the Word are the same. So every day when I sit down, it's like Jesus comes up and he has a cup of coffee with me. Okay, some of you think, what are you getting? He sits down like with a cup of coffee with me, and I'm reading this Bible every day, and he starts talking to me. Okay, so when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the epistles, Romans, all the way to Revelations, the Bible is the Word of God, is Jesus talking to me. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Now, you may be living alone and nobody ever talks to you, but you can have the Son of God sit down and talk to you when you read your Bible. That's wonderful. Everybody say, oh, it's so wonderful. It really is wonderful. He talks to me all the time. I'm telling you, the only time he doesn't talk to me is when I bring my cell phone in and I look and I press that Facebook thing. Oh, dang it. So I leave it either upstairs in the kitchen. That is the most distracting thing in my life, that cell phone. Okay? That's the only time God doesn't talk to me. Because what I've done is I went, eh. Okay, so every time I open the Bible, every time you open the Bible, it is Jesus going to have a conversation with you. So now, the interesting thing is that's wonderful, but it's not until you say, I will do what you said. That's really wonderful. As soon as you say, Lord Jesus, I will do what you said, that's really incredible. That's actually what happens then is when you read the Bible and then you say, hey, I'm going to do that, it releases God to move in your life. It releases God to move in your life when you say, I'm going to do it. How many of you need the Lord released into your life? All right. So we're going to talk about how we interact with Jesus. Now, what I want to caution you is you can do it in a wrong way, in a wrong attitude or a wrong spirit, if you like that word, and it's not going to benefit you. You can read your Bible in a wrong attitude, and it is not going to benefit you. As a matter of fact, it'll actually hurt you. Pastor D, what do you mean? Reading my Bible is going to hurt me? No. If you read your Bible in a works, I have to read my Bible because if I read my Bible, then God's going to like me. God's going to approve me. God's going to smile down at me. It's going to hurt you. It's actually going to cancel out what it's supposed to do. So you have to have the right attitude when you read this word, when you let Jesus talk to you. So it will benefit you. But if you're reading it from works, it's not going to do it. So first off, how many of you know that when you receive Jesus Christ in your life, he loves you. He forgives you. He made you all right to come into his presence. And that is your attitude when you read your Bible. He just loves me. I'm going to read my, I don't have to jump hoops. You know, I'm big on these, you know, you got to jump hoops. Okay, he's not jumping hoops. You just simply, I'm going to read my Bible and follow Jesus. Okay, not I'm going to do this Bible stuff so that God approves me. Good, look at you. You get a smack on your back. God, you read your Bible today. You're doing it so God will do that. No, don't do that. That's wrong, all right? So when you read your Bible and you do what it says, you are following Jesus. It's real easy. Follow Jesus. So we used to sing songs, all these songs about follow Jesus. And I thought, he's in heaven. How the heck am I going to follow him? This is how you follow him. You read this and you put it in your life. That's follow and obey. Okay? And the crazy thing that happens when you read it and you go, oh, yes, I'm going to do that. It releases God to move in your life. And it actually releases God's grace into your life. Okay, God's grace. Now, if you don't do it, if you do it with thinking, I'm going to read my Bible, because my mom made me. No, I'm going to read my Bible so that God's going to approve me and love me and do things for me. It's not going to work. Okay, it's just not going to work. So, now, I said, we interact with the Son Jesus by following him and that O-B-E-Y word. What is that? Yeah. We interact with Jesus when we follow and we O-B-E-Y. We obey him. Now, you know why I said that? It's because you're going to find out there's a lot of times you don't want to do what you just read. like I did that time, okay? You don't want to do it. But as soon as you decide, I am going to do this, and I'm going to do it in the right attitude, it releases God's grace in your life. It releases God's grace in your life, all right? So now, have you noticed, I've been around walking with the Lord for 40 years. For 40 years, that's four decades. That sounds really bad. Whoa. But you know what I've noticed? Y'all know this too. About every decade, God will bring a man or several, a man or woman, you know, the gender, whatever. He'll bring a person or several person to give a message to the body. Raise your hand. You're the body of Christ. If you've asked Jesus Christ, in case you don't know, you're the body, okay? You're the church. You're the body. But God will start moving, and I've seen this about every decade. He'll move on someone's heart to bring a message where the church has no understanding or they forgot. I forgot where I left my keys. So I need someone to tell me. Well, the Lord loves us so much that he brings people. He'll speak to people to bring a message. Now, how many did you notice what the last 10-year message is about? You can call out. Yes! The last 10 years, the message has been grace. You go to the bookstores, you turn on any of your ministers that you like to listen to. The last 10 years, this is about 10 years, it's been about grace. Grace, grace, grace. And that's because God loves us, and he knew we didn't quite understand, or we just forgot what grace was all about. What grace was all about. And listen, if how many of you remember I did a series this past summer, and I wore my sneakers? I loved it. It was like so great. I got these pointy things on today going, they're cute. But okay, and the title of the message was Grace for the Race. We talked about, I think I did 6 weeks, what grace is in your life, how God gives grace in your life. So if you want to go get the CDs, you can say, hey, get Pastor D's Grace for the Race, or go in our bookstore. We got some great books that men of God spoke to them to explain what grace is about. Andrew Womack, Joseph Prince, Tony Cook, let's try to remember some of the big ones here. Okay, but we've got Kathy, we got books back there. All right, so it's a great thing. And listen, until you understand grace, you're going to be condemned. You're not good enough. You're too bad enough. If you don't understand grace, you're going to have these goofy thoughts in your mind. But as soon as you realize God's grace, you're going to realize, I am worthy because of Jesus and his grace in my life. I have been made right because of Jesus and his grace in my life. All right, so everybody say grace. Grace is so good. Now, if you don't know a lot about grace, I'm just going to go real quick. Okay, real quick. There's grace for salvation. Grace for salvation. And that grace is God's unmerited favor. For by grace you are saved. Okay, it is God that does it. You couldn't jump through a big enough hoop or a small enough hoop. It was God's unmerited favor, his grace that brought you to salvation. Praise God. I'm telling you, because I am a notorious works person. I have to really get a grip on it. And grace for salvation, I didn't have to do anything. It was just awesome. Now, after you are born again, after you're a follower of Jesus, after Jesus Christ has come into your life, there's a little different grace. Okay, grace is a little bit different. And this grace is God's ability or God's empowerment to do what you can't do. My friend Pastor Mike says it this way, and I think I typed it up there. I don't know. Grace is God's ability that supersedes, I thought that was so good, supersedes our ability. All right, now, how many of you need God's ability in your life? Like all day long and already for tomorrow, okay? Now, I have to admit, I have a lot of faults in my life. I have a lot of areas that I have no ability. But you know what grace is? Grace is I go, listen, God, I saw in the Word that you want me to do this, but I can't, I don't know how, and I need your grace to empower me. Better yet, help. Really simple, it's help. And you know, all I have to do is yield to it. Okay. All right. So grace. Grace is God's ability or God's empowerment to do things you can't do. And you just have to say, God, I need your help. And he's so wonderful. He loves to do that. Now, here's what I want to talk about today. All of that was the beginning. But here's what I want to talk about today is the whole big idea. I want you, when you walk out of here, I just want you to know that following Jesus is releasing Jesus in your life. And I'm going to share a few more things. It's real simple. But following Jesus is releasing Jesus in your life. And releasing, when you release Jesus in your life, amazing things happen. One, I sleep better. I watch God do things in people's lives. All right? So when you release Jesus into your life, amazing things happen. And such as, you know, when I had that fallout with somebody and I decided to follow the word, right? And I started to pray for them and bless them. And it released Jesus into my life. And those tormenting thoughts went, all right? Now, had I done it my way, I'd still be stalking them. That's pretty stupid, isn't it? Have I stalked any of you? Yeah, I'm sure I have. Okay. So I like that. I don't like tormenting, so that was really good. Now, so I want to talk a little bit about grace and a little bit about following Jesus and obeying him. Now, our vision at YCF is to gather, to worship, okay? And we gather, the next week, after we gather, we grow. I will tell you every day till the day I bury you, you will grow through the word of God. Okay? Get your head in the word. Did you read your Bible? Okay? Pastor D, I don't know where my Bible is. You need. So you will grow. This is the way you grow, is through this. All right? And then you'll actually grow by connecting with people. And this is a little bit of my grow group on Tuesday night, which we are wrapping up. This Tuesday, we're done till we figure out something. But I started connecting with a bunch of ladies. And Sam, where's Sam? Where's Sam? Where's Sam? Sam? Wake him up. It's right in front of you. Okay. Sam. give him the thumbs up. Say, I was just reading the notes, Pastor D. I know I was right with you. But I want to tell you how I grew. I grew in relationships with these people. And there's one, where's Vanessa? Vanessa, yeah, Vanessa. And I grew in my relationship. And I need people in my life. And they actually challenge me. Miss Kathy always has questions for me. I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, just leave me alone today. No more questions, all right? And I like to think we connected. We connected and we poured into each other. So our vision is to gather, to grow in the word, grow in connections. And the last one is the big kick you out. We gather by going. We grow by going. We go. And what does that mean? You are commissioned, not just Pastor D. It's in your Bible all over the place. You are told to go to those who are far from the Lord. Does anybody know anybody who's far from Jesus? Anybody know two people that are far from Jesus? Anybody work with people that are far from Jesus? Anybody have relatives that are far from Jesus? Okay, that's our vision here. It's actually the Bible, okay? It's to go to those that are far from Jesus. And we are to go to tell them that God loves them, that God sent his son already to die for them, and he just wants them to come into this family. That's part of the go part. And actually what it is our go vision is to tell so we can connect people to Jesus. I didn't say connect them to YCF, though I love that. But the goal vision, God's vision, is to connect people to Jesus, all right? Now, after they get connected, after you all get connected, anybody connected to Jesus already? You've asked him to be the Lord of your life. You're already connected. By the way, you are connected. Okay, you are. Thank you. One enthusiasm. Okay, after you get connected, you know what happens? Now it's time for you to connect and follow Jesus. That's the next part, is to follow him. Follow and obey. I love that word, obey. All right. So can I tell you something? Just every Sunday when I leave this place, I go home. Eventually I go home. And pretty soon Sherry and I meet up. And we don't even sit down. We come in the door and we are so excited. And it's like, who could talk first? And you know what excites us? When people connect with Jesus for the very first time and they receive him into their life, it is always the most exciting thing that Sherry and I, when we come in the door, we just like, oh my gosh. Listen, they have a party in heaven and we are having a party in my kitchen. Just so thrilled. Now, the next thing that excites us always is when we hear that you are following Jesus and there's change in your life. Listen, when you follow Jesus, he will change your life. He'll change the way you walk. He'll change the way they talk. He'll change the way you smell. He'll change the way you look. Y'all look pretty. All right? We're fragrance. Hallelujah. So listen, that excites us. So we'll go, hey, I go, Sherry, did you hear about so-and-so? And we swap good reports. We don't tell laundry. We get excited after service. And we tell all the great things that you've told us on how you've had a change in your life because you connected with Jesus. All right? So keep telling me. By the way, you can go on our website. Where's Nevin? He's not here. Oh, okay. Go to ycf.com. I'm trying to remember where it is. Somewhere on that first column, you get to tell a story. You can type it in on our website and tell me the great things. And you know, great is in the eye of the beholder. You might think, oh, it's only just a little thing. Okay, somewhere over there at the top, I don't know, one of those that says tell a story. I can't even read that here. So light. Maybe it's the last one. I don't know. It says tell a story. I don't know. Go have fun. Thanks, Adam. Hey, by the way, you know, I love my sound booth guys, and I think I have girls. Who's one of my girls? And they're always looking for some help, all right? And this is the wonderful thing. Lane's going, pitch it, Pastor D. I prefer if you know nothing. What? Yes, because then I don't have to undo all your big thoughts to do it my way. Okay? You know what that's like. You know what? Pastor D, at our church, we used to do this. Pastor D, we used to do that. I was like, I want someone who knows nothing. Okay? But we have a height limit. A standard. You have to be able to see over the sound booth. Or bring your own telephone book. See? You can see Brian back there and Adam. Everybody turn around and say thank you, guys. Okay. Praise the Lord. I don't know where I'm going. Let's open up to the Bible. Here we go. Open up to John chapter 9. Gee whiz, Pastor D. Oh my gosh. I actually am having fun today. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about how we interact with Jesus, and we interact with Jesus by following. So we're going to talk about following. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and I'm reading out of the NIV. No, Luke, what did I say? John? Okay, wait a minute. I might be on the wrong page. Let's do Luke. Sorry. Okay, so I wanted a new NIV, and I got a good deal at Ollie's. Has anybody shopped at Ollie's for Bibles? Great. I did not check the font size. I was like, wow. So I'm going to go find another one. But it's got red letter, so that was good. Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is red letter. Nevin, we were just talking about you. You missed it. Yeah. It was all good. Red letter, who's talking? It's not Pastor D. It's not your mother. It's Jesus, okay? Luke 9:23. Okay, where am I? I'm in John 9:23. And he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Okay, so he's saying, if you want to be a disciple of who? Anybody want to be a disciple of Jesus? You better put your hand up. Okay, if you want to be, we won't let you leave. Okay, so if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. Real easy. Deny yourself, take up your cross. There's a cute little word in there. Okay, it says daily. We'll talk about daily. All right. So now what does it mean to follow? Follow means to find something in the Word of God. Whoa. and then do it. That's really simple. Find something and then do it. So in order to follow, you have to do something first. You know, the follow is the end. What were the first two things? Deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Now, I picked a translation. There were other translations that didn't have daily. I thought, we're reading out of this one today. Okay, daily. That means you do it not just on Sunday. That means you do it not when you feel like it. I'm not feeling it. I'm not doing it. Uh-uh. It's daily. Daily means every day. Every day. And I will tell you, when you start doing something daily, you'll have consistency in your life. Oh, consistency. And you know, great things grow out of consistency. So everybody say, I love daily. Okay. So what does it mean to deny yourself and pick up your cross daily? What does it mean? Well, let me tell you, you die to your own desires, your own will, Your emotions, you die. Okay, you die. And then you let somebody take control of your life. And by the way, who's supposed to be controlling your life? Yay! Now, how many of you know I am a world-class backseat driver? Anybody know that from experience? World-class. There's no one that has beat me yet. Therefore, my kids have finally decided, just let the lady drive. Because I'm a screamer, I'm a stomper, I'm a yelling, and the whole time. So they just like, and everybody's happy. Mama's driving. Okay? Now, we give Jesus the control, and everybody's happy. You will be happy, all right? So we deny ourselves, our own desires, and our own will, and we give him the control. All right? Now, do you see the word cross in there? It says, deny themselves and take up their cross. Okay, now, cross in the Bible is a symbol of death. Okay? It's a symbol of death. And today we would probably say, okay, a symbol of death. What's a symbol of death? The electric chair, right? I'm pretty sure they don't do the electric chair anymore, right? Where they do. They do? Glory to God. No, don't say that, Pastor. That was so bad. Delete that. Okay. So, but in Bible days, yeah, let's go back to stay with the Bible, Whitney. You can't go wrong, Whitney. In Bible days, the cross was a symbol of excruciating pain and torment and death. Death. Okay, now, yeah, look, let's read that scripture again. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. So you are to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. So what is he saying here? How we interact with Jesus. How we release the grace of God in our life. You have to come to the place where you say, man, I really don't like what it says here. That's really not even fun. And you know, there are many days I'm reading my Bible and I'm going, why did you put that there? That must be for Miranda over there. That's not for me, okay? But, everybody say but. But I decide to deny myself, all right? Carry my cross, deny myself, and I follow Jesus. And that releases God's grace in my life because I'm following Jesus, okay? Now, I know for some of you to turn over that steering wheel, I hear guys have a harder time with that, but I don't think that's true. So, yeah, you see me. I know for some of us that's tough to give the control to Jesus. Deny myself, give the control to Jesus. Deny myself, and give my, that's why we say Jesus is Lord. That's why that means boss. That was good. I like that. So listen, we're talking about how do we interact with Jesus. Okay, let me show you some things that happen when you interact with Jesus. No, I think I have it down here. Was it? I don't know where we are. Forget that. Okay. When we follow Jesus, something crazy good happens. When we follow Jesus, it has freedom in our life. When I choose to follow Jesus, to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow Jesus, freedom comes. Freedom comes. Okay? Let me tell you a story. This is, I guess it was the first year we were out in Tulsa. Jack and I had been married 1 year. Then we were out there for the second year. And he's going to school. He's got a part-time job. And I am looking for a full-time job. Now, the just outlandish thing is we only have one car. So how's this going to happen? Okay? So I apply. I apply at the church that we were going to. It's this large church. And I apply because they're starting a Christian school. Right? I apply for a teaching position. And I get there. Well, I didn't know they hired like a month before. So, but let me back up. I got ahead of myself. So, Jack, did you see? They have positions for teachers. And God speaks to my heart. You're to apply. That's your job. Jack, guess what? God spoke to me. That was like one of the first times that I was like, God spoke to me. It wasn't a voice. It's that still, it's like light goes off. Big on the inside. I knew that I was to go to that school, put my application. That was my job. I just knew it. I said, Jack, that's my job. That's my job. And by the way, I need a job. We need some food. Okay. So I get there and they had hired a month early. I was like, are you kidding me? Came home and cried. Oh my God. You must have missed God. And the good husband, I see, he says, wait a minute. You told me you heard from God. Yeah, I did. I heard from God. I knew I did. It was like this warm, fuzzy, just, not that we go by feelings and goosebumps and hair standing up. Because, I don't really have hair on my arms. It's just so funny. Okay. So I just got really quiet and Jack just grilled me. He says, when did you hear from God? What did God say to you? And I said, yeah, but the school said they've hired already. He says, well, what are you going to do about it? And then I heard the second thing from God. Go volunteer. I said, no cha-ching that goes with volunteering. I need some cha-ching, cha-ching. And I wrestled with that. And Jack says, what did you hear? I said, God said, that's my job. I'm supposed to volunteer. And I'm looking at cha-ching, cha-ching and checkbooks. So I go and I volunteer for a month or 6 weeks. And then I get called into the principal's office. I don't care how old you are, it still does the same thing. It does. I've been called into the principal's office 3 times. This is one of them. And they call me in, and I'm like, oh, what did I do wrong? I don't know why we do that. And they said, you know what? We have seen that you have been faithful, and we have had more influx of students, and we need to open a whole new classroom. So this is a Christian school, and they were doing combo classes, second and third. And they said, we want to give you your own class. We're going to pay you. Cha-ching, cha-ching. Hallelujah. Okay? All right. So why do I tell you that story is that when you choose to know, now sometimes you'll find things written and other things, the written, the knowing on the inside really has some written in there. But when you hear and you obey and you follow, great things change. Things changed. I got cha-chinked. That was great. We actually had enough money coming in. Hallelujah. All right. So have you ever noticed that God will give you something to do? Something to do first so that he can set you free? Free was my cha-chink, okay? But God will many times speak to you about doing something so that he'll get you to that place of freedom. So it's good to follow. Amen? How many of you like to be free? All right, turn over to John chapter 8 now. John chapter 8. This is a freedom scripture. I love this. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Hallelujah. Everybody say, follow and obey. That's good for kids too, man. I just love telling kids. Okay, y'all at John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed in Jesus. Okay, now get the scenario. Jesus is out walking and talking and telling everybody and praying for him. And the Jews, there's a bunch that now believe in Jesus. All right? Now, there's a whole bunch that don't, and they're always just shooting them down. But this is the bunch that believed in him. So he's going to talk to them. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples." Then, underline that word then. That may be a little word, but it's going to talk to us. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Everybody likes freedom. I don't like to be in bondage. I don't like just the burden of just garbage. I like to be free. But, you know, I remember reading that scripture there. Okay? It says, "If you hold on to my teachings, you will really be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." When I was just a new believer, I read that is, oh, if you know all this truth, it'll set you free. It doesn't say that. It doesn't really mean that. Because if you look at now I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. "If you abide in my word," or "hold on to my teaching," if you hold on my teaching, but the Amplified says, "If you hold on to my word, if you abide in my word, continually obeying my teaching and living accordance to them." Continually obeying and living. Okay, that means do. So I'm going to read that again. "If you hold on to my teachings," or if you're doing or following, if you're doing my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Okay, so Jesus is saying, if I tell you something to do and you put it into practice, then guess what you are? Yeah. And by the way, you're all supposed to be disciples. You're all supposed to be disciples. That's a couple other scriptures. All right. So now, did you see the word then? "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Okay, so if you put into practice something that you're reading in the Bible, if you put it into practice, and that means you start following, then you'll know the truth, and it'll set you free. Now, he's also saying, you don't really know the truth until you put it into practice. Am I making that up, or does that sound good? Y'all sleep? All right. He's really saying, if you don't really know the truth until you put it in practice and you start following and obeying. All right, now, so many of us can know the Bible intellectually. Know it intellectually. I mean, you can spout it. You love shooting people down with it. You know what the but is? Until you do it. Until you do it, it will set you free. So, how do we interact with Jesus? We have to put his word into action and follow him. Now, I know that if you pray for your enemies and if you bless them, it sets me free. I didn't know that until I did it. I knew it here. I'd read those scriptures before, but I must have had a brain burp going. Okay, I knew, you know, someone had hurt my feelings and just blah, blah, blah. And I knew that scripture. I'd read those scriptures before, but it wasn't until I did it that it set me free. So being an intellect, now listen, keep reading your Bible, guys. Keep reading. But you have to keep reading and get it from here down into here so you can do this. You have to begin to practice it. And when you start practicing it, amazing things will happen in your life. The grace of God comes in there. And his ability will help you walk it out. His ability will help you walk it out. That's amazing. So y'all know the Sermon on the Mount? You ever hear about the Sermon on the Mount? Did anybody ever hear about the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah! Okay, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Turn over to chapter 7, though. Now, it's really just wonderful. Someday, nobody ever does this. I don't know where to read. All right. But But don't do that. Just have a pattern. But Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching all these things so that we can do and have change in our life. This is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching all these things that we can do so we can have change in our life. All these things we can do so we can have change in our life. Okay? Now, I'm going to read chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, by the way, this is Jesus. Everybody say, I love you, Jesus. I love Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, isn't that good? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains came down, and the streams rose up, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because its foundation was on the rock. Jesus is called the rock. Jesus is called the word. It's on the word. All right? It's on the word. All right? Next part. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Put them into practice. So, you can have it up here, but you're not doing this, okay? So everyone who hears my words, all right, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose up, the wind blew, beat against the house, and it went crash and burn. Okay, did God knock down that guy's house? No, okay, it was a storm, okay? He didn't do it, but it says if you put to practice, you follow, all right, his words, he'll make you strong and your foundation will be strong. So when the storms come, all right, storms come. By the way, storms come to everybody. Did you notice? The storm came to the foolish guy and the wise guy. We live on a cursed earth, guys. Storms come. Bad things happen. Ridiculous things happen. They happen. But it says, if you put into practice, follow my words, and you build, you become strong, you have a foundation on the word, you're practicing the word, it doesn't matter about the storms. You will be the last man standing. Right? You will not fall. You will not fall. But it says here, what did you have to do? Put them into practice. Put them into practice. So just being a spouter of intellect stuff, okay, is not going to cut the mustard. You have to actually put it into practice. And listen, I can tell you it works. I've watched it work. How many of you it's worked in your life? Matter of fact, I've seen this true both ways. The foolish man and I've seen the wise man. The word of God works. God's word is true. He upholds his word. His word will not return void. You have to walk it out. Okay, so be the strong man. Get strong. Have your foundation. Practice it. And great things happen. Now, if you don't practice it, if all you're doing is calling everybody up, would you pray for me? Oh my gosh, pray for me. That's okay. I like praying for you. But you have to practice it. Or it's crash and burn, baby. Crash and burn. Okay? And then I get the phone calls. All right? And actually, I had a woman in my office this week. And just, you know, some despicable things happened in her life that shouldn't have. Okay? And someone had really just spoken ill about her. They had not represented her in a bad, they could have done a whole lot better. And she really got deeply hurt. And I thought, you need to pray for that person. You need to bless them. I knew that was true. And I said, okay, I know you're hurt. I know that it has cost you a job. All right, cha-ching, chink. But we're going to pray for that person and that organization, and we're going to bless them. Took a few seconds there just to tell her why we were going to do that. And you know what? We prayed together. And actually, she says, you're right. You're right. I know that. I said, whoa, you know that? You know that? But now you got to put it into practice, okay? And we prayed together, and you should have seen her countenance change. It's great. She got free. All right, so let's just close up here. Following Jesus releases Jesus. Following Jesus releases Jesus. It sets you free, great freedom. It brings God's grace. Now, there are times I'm like, I can't do this, God. And he's like, finally, that's exactly where I want you. It's okay to say, I can't do this. But what I will say, God, I need your grace, your empowerment, okay, that supersedes my big zero that I can't, and that you can move in my life. And you watch, he will do it. He does it over and over and over again. There's stories in the Bible. There's stories in you guys. I know your stories, and I've watched it, but we got to keep putting into practice, all right? So this week, your homework assignment is every day that you daily read your Bible, all right? And the scripture starts talking to you. The word is alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will talk, okay? When you read your Bible, it will talk to you. It's Jesus. Just say, get your cup of get two cups of coffee if you have to do it so you get it. And set it out there and you go, I'm reading my Bible and Jesus is going to talk to me today. All right? So you're reading your Bible and he's talking to you. And he goes, oh, are you kidding me? And then you say, yes, Jesus, I'll do that. Man, it'll change my life. My life needs to be changed. Yes, I'll do that. And I'm going to put it into practice. Because when you do that, what is it going to do? It's going to release God's grace. And freedom's going to come. Things are going to change. Now, I will say, take off your watch and stop telling God, I need it now. Okay, and you're expecting it. Because when tomorrow comes and you're not going to see things change, that you're not in faith, number one. And God has a whole different time. His time, he doesn't take time. He doesn't wear watches. He just does, okay? So that's been one of my big hiccups in life. Anybody have any hiccups in life with God here? So just take off your watch. He's going to point something out. You say, yes, I am going to put that into practice. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to keep putting it into practice. And by the way, up here, God, it's getting really bad. I need your grace in my life. And he says, okay, D, because you're putting it into practice, I'm going to shove my grace in your life and things are going to change. And then you're just going to worship him and thank him before you see it. And just say, oh, God, you're so good. I thank you that you are upholding your word and your grace is more than enough in my life. I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Isn't that wonderful? So, you can be a wise man or you can be a foolish. And I have been foolish in areas that I've not applied when I've read this, when God's spoken to me. But I am going to be a wise guy. This is what you can be a wise guy. All right. How about y'all close your eyes? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Father, I know there are people in this place that you're speaking them and you have been speaking to them and you are speaking them to them now, right now, to do some things. And it could be anything. It could be anything. It could be that nasty house next to you, their kids run all over your flower garden and you have been talking to them to cut some of those flowers and bring it over. It could be anything. Or it could be something biblical. God, you have been talking to people here, and I just want to exhort you and encourage you that God is saying your freedom is one step away. Your freedom is one step away, and you need to step out in the thing I've spoken to you, and I don't know what it is, but God has spoken to you to do some things. It's and just walk in that so I can release freedom in your life. Just walk in those things so I can pour my grace in your life so that you won't even imagine. Praise God. But if you're stuck from following because of fear, you say, fear, get behind me. And take that step today and quickly obey so God's grace can flood your life. Praise God. Okay, that's not the prayer. Let's pray. But listen, I am believing. I know I'm all over it. For a spirit of boldness to be released in you guys. that you will quickly hear and quickly obey. So God can quickly release things in your life. Jack cooked this one up. You tell my kids, my ears are quick to hear and my feet are swift to obey. Yes, Daddy, I hear and I obey. Yes, Daddy, I hear and obey. We ought to be saying that to God every time we read the word. Yes, I hear and I obey. Okay. I'm praying. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for your word. Your word brings light when we have had darkness. Your word brings freedom where we have been in bondage. And I just thank you, Father, that freedom has come, Father, that we see, we value your word, we embrace it, and we follow it, and we obey it. And Father, we thank you that we have great freedom and great grace in our life to do the things you've called us to do. And to you be all the glory for the great things you have done and will continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, stand up because it's time to stand up. Praise God, it's good. Put your hand up. Everybody say, I'm a follower and I'm an obeyer. Therefore, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Everything I set my hand to, I prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you have a great week. Praise the Lord.